Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the first Hammurabi Hangout of 2024. Happy New Year. I hope that this one is a good one for you. Josh, we don't really do New Year's resolutions, but is there anything that you are looking forward to for this year?
Yeah, actually. And I only thought about it in the last 4 seconds since you asked me. But I am making this the year of Acadian. Yeah.
Year of Acadian.
So Megan is teaching an Acadian class, as we mentioned last week. By the way, I just wanted to say, I'm terrible. Terrible, horrible, horrible, terrible.
Are you?
At doing anything like... interacting with comments or, but I just want you to know that obviously I don't see all of them, but I just want to specifically call out Mark, and I can't remember. It's like
Lamarine.
Lamarine. There you go. Sorry. This is how terrible I am, but I see every one of his comments. And they always just, they either make me chuckle or warm my heart, and I never write anything because the way I see them is I get an alert through the email that says, like, you have a comment. So it would be like 9 more buttons for me to like go in and actually respond back, and I just never have time to do that, it doesn't seem. But I always get to read the comment in the email. And I just wanted to call that out. Like, thank you for the comments and for everybody in the comments. But that's the one that just stands out. Okay, anyway, sorry.
I do want to second that. Mark is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, all of our patrons.
Love Mark. They are. They really are. But Mark always has a comment. And it doesn't really matter what platform we're on. There's always a comment from Mark. It's wonderful.
I feel like he thinks, all right, look, these people have like
they try so hard.
Dismal
they try
lives.
So hard.
I have to give them something. Hey, great job.
Some kind of feedback.
Acadian. So Megan is, as we mentioned last week, Megan is teaching an Acadian course at Peninsula College next week, right? Starts next week. And I don't know, it just got me sort of like thinking, I do so much Sumerian. And of course I do so much Hebrew. And I don't have a lot of additional time. But I said, screw it. I am going to start. I feel like it's important to explain this. In Assyriology, and it's this way with philologists, I'm sure, in every field of study, but or every language or languages that philologists study, when you write your dissertation, you end up having to focus, right, of necessity. So, like my friend Caleb Howard and I, Caleb and I went through the unbelievable rigors of being Paul Dalnera's first Sumerian students. And it showed. And I mean, like, Paul's brilliant. Like, there's just no question about that. But I mean, he was, and we told him to be hard on us, to be fair. But he was, and it was rigorous. And so we both like knew Sumerian very, very well, you know, for PhD students. My dissertation was a Sumerological dissertation. So I was working in primarily Sumerian liturgical texts.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, I was. Come
Sorry,
on, somebody.
I had to help.
Thank you. And Caleb was like, sort of going to be doing a hybrid. So anyway, sorry, let me back up. In Assyriology, generally speaking, people study two languages primarily, Akkadian and Sumerian. Sumerian is, during the third millennium, like the primary language that's living and spoken and whatever. And then following that, Sumerian dies and Akkadian becomes the predominant language down into the first millennium. And Sumerian continues to be used, but in a very restricted, much more restricted sense. I'm sorry, I keep clearing my throat. I've got this thing. Anyway, yes. So Caleb and I knew Akkadian very well. We knew Sumerian very well. But then when it came time for the dissertation, it was like, all right, you kind of got to pick one. So I went with the Sumerian.
It's like picking your favorite child. It should never be asked of you, but they make you do it.
Yeah, they make you. And so you end up spending, you know, the next 3 to 5 years consumed with texts in that particular language, like, you know, generally. And so you find your skills, like, really developing in the one language. But, you know, if you stop and think after 6 months, like, when was the last time I translated through an Akkadian text? You're like, So, you know, it is use it or lose it. And you don't, I don't know that you lose it, but I mean, like, it becomes more difficult to just pick up a text and read it, right? So, over the past, like, 3 or 4 years, people are like, oh, Assyriology, and we start to talk about Akkadian texts, and I always feel like, man, like, if you asked me to pick up a Sumerian text, we'd be, like, off to the races, but an Akkadian text, like, eh. Well, Caleb would be the opposite. And Caleb ended up doing his dissertation on these first millennium BCE, something called the Standard Inscription. And he worked like scribal methods and identifying scribes. And it was really amazing dissertation. But like it was just Akkadian, and really a particular dialect of Akkadian. And so I suspect, you know, that if we were like, hey, let's, you know, do some live stream Sumerian translation, he might be like, ooh, why don't I read through that beforehand, right? In the same way that I'd be like, ooh, Katie, why don't I read through that beforehand? So anyway, all of that very long-winded nonsense to say, I have decided that this year, as my resolution, is going to be to make a big push on getting back into regularly reading Akkadian text, and yeah, that's.
I want to do the same, and I've been saying this for several years now, because I want to publish kind of colloquial is probably not the right word, but non-academic translations of Akkadian. That's not a word either. Non-academic translations of Akkadian texts.
It's pronounced macadamia.
Thank you. Macadamian translations of Akkadian
texts. It's a type of peanut.
It is. I didn't know that.
And raisin.
Anyway, and raisin. Peanuts and raisins. We shouldn't be recording this at 5:30 in the morning. I think that's what we're learning from today. But
forever.
I want to do, yes, indeed. I want to do like folktale, fairy tale translations of Akkadian texts, the mythologies specifically. But I obviously shouldn't do that without first translating all of them again into English from Akkadian. And I've been wanting to do this for, well, probably as long as Oliver's been alive. So the last 5 years, and it's just never happened. So maybe teaching Akkadian will give me the kickstart that I need to get back on that. But for those who are interested in Akkadian, I actually pulled up the details because I think last week I was like, Akkadian? What? No. It starts on the 9th, which is next week, next Tuesday, and runs to the 13th of February. So one class a week, 6 weeks, which is much better than the Sumerian class because that was 2 a week, which was very intense. We covered a lot of ground, but it was an awful lot. But it'll be 5 to 6:30 Pacific time, which I think is 8 to 9:30 Eastern. And the cost is $145. And I did hear from the course coordinator yesterday afternoon, there are 17 people registered and a maximum of 25 seats available. So there is still room if anyone is interested in taking the class. So,
sorry, yes, it broke up just a little bit. What was the cost?
$145.
Okay, it didn't break up. I thought you said $845.
Oh, no.
You said $100.
Yes, 100. 145. Yes, no, we're not charging $800+
for now. If people are interested in like donating to HAPS that much money, like, you know,
they should feel free.
Just kidding. There was something I was going to add onto that that was really good, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, we also have a new patron this week.
Hooray! We should start doing that.
We should. Yeah. We should. Hello, John. Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Hopefully you find interest in our ramblings. If you don't, thank you regardless for the support. We appreciate it. I also have been thinking, when we published Audible books, we get a selection of codes for free downloads. We should just start putting them on the Patreon.
Yes. Yes.
Or telling people to comment if they would like a code.
Or we could do what Piper and Oliver do. And we can make pretend recordings of YouTube videos where we're cooking. And we could say, bouncing around in a cooking show in the living room. This is our 10-year-old, our 5-year-old, by the way, everybody. And bouncing around and saying, okay, thanks for watching our YouTube show. Now, make sure you hit the like and subscribe button. And for the next next video, if you leave a comment, if we get 100 subscribers over the next 12 weeks, then we'll put out a challenge for you. And whoever does the challenge and leaves the comment, sitting there in the other room, like I'm making dinner or something, listening to this going on. And I'm going, well, I really should be actually recording this because it's unbelievably
cold.
Adorable. Sorry.
It is adorable.
Terrible.
No, it is adorable, but they don't have a very firm grasp of what is feasible in YouTube. I feel like 100 subscribers. Was it 100 subscribers or 10?
It might have been 10. Yeah.
Maybe, I can't remember. But even 100 subscribers over 7 weeks, I don't feel like they're pushing themselves enough.
No, probably not. Yeah.
They have no idea what it is we do, by the way.
Right. But we don't really have any idea what we do.
Oh, so. That's true. I have tried telling them that we run a YouTube channel. I'm not entirely sure either of them believe us, because we don't make Mario videos. So that's the only kind of YouTube there is. Where were we going with this? Oh, Audible book downloads. That's where we were going with this. So if anyone has any interest in a free download for any of our audiobooks, it is through Audible, so you do have to have an Audible account. Just drop a comment in the link below and I'll message you with a download code. And I'm really sorry if you've already actually bought them. This only occurred to me when I was driving home yesterday. So
yeah, I do think, just so we don't like... I don't think we have like an unlimited supply of
that. Oh no, we don't. There are 45 for each book.
Oh, all right. And we should probably talk to Seth as well, because
I think he gets his own ones.
Oh, you know what? I'm just gonna like go back on mute. You know what I mean?
So, if you would like one, leave a link. Let me know. Leave a link. Leave a comment. Let me know what book you're interested in. And I will, if we have a code, I will send one to you. Joshua, come back. Come back.
Sorry, hang on just a second.
Oh, sorry. I'm also going to be this month starting up our newsletter again. Well, I say again, we never really had a newsletter. I have a mailing list that I use for book announcements. When I remember that I have a mailing list, which isn't very often. Honestly, this whole year is going to be, if Josh's year is the year of Acadian, my year is the year of actually organizing what we do with Digital Hammurabi, because it's chaotic at best. And I don't think it's going to ever be not chaotic, because that's how my brain works. It is a very chaotic place at the best of times. But I do want to have some more consistency. And I think a newsletter, a monthly newsletter is not a bad idea. But I was thinking about doing something like once a month, having Josh's book recommendations. So the best book that he's read so far on slavery in the ancient world, the best book on the formation of the Pentateuch, whatever it is he's researching that particular month. So do one of those, maybe include planned interviews for the month. When we have planned interviews, I want to start sending out information about online resources, because there are an awful lot of online resources for people interested in Assyriology in this area of the ancient world. And we don't talk about them very often, but they're out there, and I'd love to share them with people who are interested in them, and do that alongside any, you know, book developments, sales, all that kind of stuff. So that's my plan.
I also wanted to say, just before I forget, because in 12 seconds it will be gone from my brain, I was texting with Jay Cavalera yesterday a little bit, and you know, he's Bruce Wall student, and I said, hey, you know, on the down low, which I guess is not so much on the down low right now, but
on the down low, but we're going to broadcast it.
Well, sorry. I said, do you know if, like, Bruce is like where he is on the Genesis Garden of Eden monograph? And he said he was going to try to ask. So, like, no promises, obviously, but you know, trying to get some insider information there on that, because I am uber excited about that book coming out. That was all. I apologize.
That is all good and wonderful.
I'm trying to think. I saved up my pennies and got, actually saved up my pennies. Megan got it for me for Christmas. Walter Dietrich's, everybody's like, nerd alert is flashing on their phones, but he's got a very monumental commentary on the book of 1 Samuel. Actually, I think 1st and 2nd Samuel. And I bought the section that's 1 Samuel chapter 13 through 26. Chapters 13 through 26. That volume alone is like, I don't know, it's almost 1,000 pages. And it was $337. But it's like, it's a very important work if you're going to be talking about 1 Samuel 15, so or really anything in 1 Samuel. But, and given my chapter on violence, and I've got a couple of presentations this year that I'll be talking about violence and my interactions with Paul Copan of late, so I thought it was a worthwhile investment to, of course, it's in German, which is good for me. Always good to.
Good for your soul.
Yeah, keep the German translation wheels spinning, if they are indeed wheels. But it's always fun to hear Oliver yell out, "Come schon, Mann," which is, I like it. Or he'll say, "Was ist denn los mit dir?" So he's got like
I'm sure three. He knows what he's saying, but it's hilarious.
He's got like three. So what does he say? Was ist denn los mit dir? Komm schon, Mann. And was meinst du damit? Anyway. Bye. I'm going to be quiet again.
Sorry, I do. Oliver just woke up and came through to say hi and tell me that he's sad it's not nearly his birthday.
Oh, well, he should pop on and say hi.
Oh, no, he's gone. He's gone.
Stop.
And for those who are interested, his birthday is at the end of this month. So it is, we're getting there.
Yeah. Not nearly, meaning like it's not,
not
right
fast.
This second.
Yeah, it's not tomorrow.
Or today, in fact.
I'm very glad it's not today. I have a birthday party to organize.
Yeah, we're, we usually do like, Megan organizes always kids' birthdays. It's like a full-time job. But she usually makes these like really cool setups where we go to, there's a little place in our area called My Gym. And you, it's like a, they do ninja training there, which is essentially, it's a place that has like mats and, you know, little ropes that they can hang from the ceilings or swings. There's a little zip line in there. It's just, you know, what 50 feet by 50 feet, you know, play area essentially. And they can run around, they, you know, tumble for like 45 minutes or an hour or something. But, you know, it's just for kids to go. It's like a really safe, organized indoor play area, essentially, is what it is. But they have it for, open it up for birthday parties as well. And so, like, she'll book it and they play. But this year, we are trying to, how do we say that? We are trying to...
We have a teenager who will be starting college in a year and a half. So we are trying to get a head start. Not much of
there
a head start, but
get
some
a
of a head start on saving,
yes,
for tuition.
Yeah. Yeah. Get a head start. That was a good way of saying that. Thankfully, there's a bit of a gap in between her college and Piper's. But anyway, so we're going to do like a home birthday party this year for Oliver. And since I have discovered that I not only like to some degree can cook / bake, but I actually really enjoy it. I've decided that we're going to do like a pizza party. Now, not everybody, you know, don't everybody gasp all at once. Pizza party for a birthday party. That's crazy,
it
right?
Is crazy.
But what we're going to do is it's going to be like part of the theme. So we're going to go, Aldi sells these little like mini pizza dough discs. I don't know. And they each come with a little sauce packet, you know. So, I mean, like I was going to just make the dough. But I figured that somebody would be like, mine is not as, you know, quite as big, or his looks different than mine. These are all just, anyway, I'll make the pizzas for the adults. And each of the kids will get their own little pizza packet, and they'll get to have their, you know, put their sauce on and put their toppings. I'm Kramer is what I'm saying, right? I'm Kramer. Make your own pie.
See, that's not a crazy thing, and there is a restaurant just over the river that does exactly that.
Really?
Uh-huh, I think the Brick Oven does it.
Get out of the city. Who was that? Balky? Balky? What was Balky's last name? Bar?
I have no idea.
Mark is going to comment. His last name, Josh Balky from Perfect Strangers, is Bar something. But, he used to say, well, paint me green and call me Gumby. Well, feed me garlic and call me Stinky. get out of the city. It's been...
I have no idea what this is.
It was a sitcom called Perfect Strangers. And I have no idea what the actor's name is, although I can see his face. But yeah, it was two guys that, it doesn't matter, but it was many moons ago that the show began. This is totally derailed. As it
it's one of the joyous things about it. We should wrap up.
Too right.
I need to shower and everything before the babies wake up. Do we have any other announcements, information to share? I think we've covered most things. I've put, for those who are interested in the Acadian class, I've put it in the comments of our last hangout episode. I'll put it in the description of this one. I know I said I'd do that last week and I didn't, but I'll put it in the description of this one. So if you are interested, you can go and take a look. Registration is open until the 9th or until seats are full, which may or may not happen.
And I know that Rationality Rules soon will start coming out with the response videos that Kip and I did with him about Paul Copan's response video to us. And then I know Derek is getting ready to put a documentary on the Book of Joshua that has intertextuality with my chapter on Joshua, which is awesome because his documentaries are, I think he really does them well. And then he's going to have another one on the Exodus and Moses, I think. And I'm writing a Gilgamesh, telling the story of Gilgamesh script for him. So that will come out in like a documentary style video over the next couple months, I'm sure. So, yeah.
All right.
There you go.
It's all good. Well, thank you all for listening. Indeed. Hopefully you enjoyed yourselves. We're going to go and get on with our week. Oh, also, final thing. A couple of months ago, I asked for people, like interview requests, and someone requested Kelsey Earhart, and I told you that we would be having her back on. We had something scheduled for last month, but she had to cancel, and she said she would let me know when she would be able to reschedule that. So I haven't forgotten, wasn't lying, just haven't been able to get something on the books yet. But we're working on it. And thank you.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
All right.
Bye. Bye.